From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. BP engineers are working to repair a leak on the new capping apparatus atop the well that's gushing oil into the Gulf of Mexico. It's not clear how that repair will affect a critical pressure test of the well in preparation for efforts to use the new tight-fitting cap to contain or control the flow of oil. Admiral Thad Allen, the federal official in charge of the government's response to the oil spill, says the test will proceed slowly.
At each six-hour interval, we will stop. And we will consider pressure data. We will look at information that we are gaining from sonar, any acoustic data, and any remote visual data we have from remotely operated vehicles.
Allen says the test could take up to 48 hours. A federal grand jury is set to take testimony from at least one miner who worked at the West Virginia coal mine where an explosion killed more than two dozen people this spring. NPR's Howard Berkus has details from an NPR News investigation which confirms the disabling of a methane gas monitor on some equipment at the mine, raising more questions about safety at the site.
Word of the federal grand jury came in a subpoena received late Wednesday by a witness to the incident in February, which took place underground about 3 miles from the location of the blast in April that killed 29 mine workers. A crew working a continuous miner resorted to disabling the methane monitor on the machine. Monitors in gassy mines like Upper Big Branch warn of explosive concentrations of methane and shut down the machine if too much gas is detected. Bridging a monitor so the machine can continue cutting rock and coal is dangerous and potentially illegal. Massey Energy confirms the bridging but says it was used only to move the machine to a safe area for repairs. Witnesses tell NPR it continued to cut rock. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
An Iranian nuclear scientist is back in his homeland claiming he was kidnapped by CIA agents and tortured. But NPR's Peter Kenyon in Istanbul reports U.S. officials say Shahram Amiri was a willing defector who was cooperating with authorities before abruptly deciding to return to his homeland.
U.S. officials say Amiri was a willing defector who changed his mind and freely returned home. But Amiri told a different tale after landing in the Iranian capital. With his 7-year-old son by his side, he said he'd been abducted while in Saudi Arabia last year and flown to the U.S. There, he claimed, he was subjected to what he called the harshest mental and physical torture. Amiri also said Israeli agents were present at some interrogations and claimed that the Americans wanted to use him to reveal what he said was false information about Iran's nuclear program. Washington believes Iran intends to build nuclear weapons, while Tehran has long maintained that its program is for peaceful purposes only. Analysts suggest Amiri may have decided to return home out of fear for his family's safety in Iran. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Argentina's legislature has completed passage of a law legalizing same-sex marriages, Argentina the first Latin American nation to take that step. This is NPR News. One of the senior administrators of the European Union says President Obama's administration has not delivered on pledges to forge closer relationships with European allies. Larry Miller in London reports the official calls the situation a missed opportunity.
The president of the European Commission says the EU-US relationship is not living up to its potential. José Manuel Barroso made his comments to the London Times against the backdrop of disagreements over the global economic crisis, climate change, and trade reform. He calls for a dramatic effort to revive transatlantic relations. British Prime Minister David Cameron has an upcoming visit to the White House. His Downing Street office says there should be more European and American dialogue and cooperation. A senior aide to French President Sarkozy told the Times, Mr. Obama is interested in Asia and Russia, not Europe. The paper quotes a senior U.S. administration official as saying, European expectations were probably so high they could not have been met. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
A new report finds that foreclosures nationwide could top 1 million this year, exceeding last year's level by about 10%. The report by the real estate research firm RealtyTrack says more than 500,000 homes have been taken over by lenders through June. RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says it will take up to 3 more years for the surge in foreclosures to ease.
Our most likely scenario right now is that probably by the end of 2013, we will be through all of the foreclosure cycles, and the market will have had a chance to absorb most of this distressed inventory.
Sharga says in the near term there could be a new wave of foreclosures, especially if the unemployment rate remains at current high levels. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.